Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Alejandro Mayorkas, Director of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Ali, would you elaborate on the guiding principles that frame and inform the strategic vision you've outlined to improve operations and outcomes for your agency in the 21st century?
Michael, I shaped the guiding principles based upon my communications with the workforce when I first arrived and with the communities that we serve through speaking with them in public forum. And let me articulate them. I think one we've touched upon already, and so I'll mention it first, and that is consistency. Our workforce deserves consistency, and the communities that we serve deserve consistency, and that is something that we need to achieve. It is not necessarily our greatest strength currently, but we are certainly devoted to achieving it. Efficiency is a second principle, and I identify them, Michael, in no particular order. But efficiency is something that is incumbent upon us as a public service agency. We have customers, and therefore it is customer service. But there's also another principle at issue, why it is so important that we be efficient, because we spend customers' money. And we therefore have to be very careful in how we spend our money. And let me, if I can, share with you an anecdote that I have shared with colleagues within the agency and at times with members of the public that has really been very influential in my care for the dollars that we spend. I remember visiting my great aunt and uncle in Brooklyn when they were quite elderly, and they came with us from Cuba to the United States. And I remember being served a sandwich wrapped in wax paper. I'm not sure whether sandwiches are any longer wrapped in wax paper, but be that as it may, I remember enjoying the sandwich and afterwards crumpling up the wax paper and being prepared to throw it away. And my great aunt took the piece of wax paper, looked at me with tremendous disdain, and took that piece of wax paper and unfolded it and tried to the best of her ability to uncrease it. And what I saw was a carefully cut square of wax paper, which my great aunt then took and placed on top of a stack of wax paper squares on top of the refrigerator. Because she was a former seamstress, her husband, my great uncle, was a former machinist, and they relied on their pension from their union work for their living. And it is the nickel that was saved through that wax paper square that is the nickel that we spend as an agency, because my great aunt and uncle were immigrants, as was I and my family. And so that image is very emblazoned on my mind in terms of our cost sensitivity as an agency, and efficiency serves cost sensitivities. Integrity is, of course, another core value, another core guiding principle. It is not only the integrity of our immigration system, in other words, protecting the integrity of the system from those who seek to exploit it, because I think those exploitative efforts injure those innocently coming before us seeking benefits for which they are eligible. But it also speaks, of course, to the integrity of our workforce. We are guardians of the public trust, and therefore integrity is of critical importance. And the fourth is transparency. The president has articulated a vision from the moment he set foot in office of open government. And we serve the public, and we have to be held accountable to the public. And to that end, we have to be transparent in the information that we provide and in how we conduct our business and why.
Well, actually, picking up on that part of engaging the citizens or customers that you serve, would you elaborate on your technical efforts to make your agency more customer-centric? And what tools are you leveraging to enhance the interaction between your agency and the customers you serve?
It's a very important question. It speaks of the difficulty of our work in terms of customer service because our customer base is extremely diverse, not only in terms of countries of origin, not only in terms of diversity in that sense, but also in terms of level of sophistication and level of representation. You know, one of our principles, of course, is equal access. And we have individuals who come before us who are dealing with sophisticated immigration benefits in the high-skilled labor arena who are represented by very sophisticated and capable counsel. And we are also serving the indigent, mm-hmm. who do not have anybody by their side necessarily, and who do not have the facility with the complex laws and regulations that we administer. And we serve them all equally. And we have to therefore develop customer service tools for each constituent in that broad spectrum of a customer base. And that is a challenge. We have, early on in my tenure, we redesigned our website to make it more customer friendly. We made it available, the redesigned customer website, we redesigned and made it available in Spanish and English. We provided individuals with an ability to track the progress of their cases, to even receive text messages when an update occurred. We are now working on a modernization program that is going to move us from a paper-based system to an electronic environment, which is going to yield tremendous benefits to our customers and to our workforce. We are looking at ways, we have an 800 line where individuals answer very basic questions. We are looking at how we can take that 800 line, that toll-free number line, and actually alter it to address the more sophisticated that have case-specific questions and the like. We're really spending a great deal of focus and energy in this area.
Well, as a follow-up, would you tell us about how you're improving your stakeholder engagement programs? And more particularly, what prompted you to establish the Office of Public Engagement and what's been accomplished to date?
That, I think, is one of our crowning achievements to date. And it serves open government, but it also serves good government. I don't believe in a public service agency of governing exclusively by edict. In other words, addressing a particular area of immigration law and developing a policy and publishing that policy and learning whether, in fact, it is correct or not, whether it captures the law, the intent of the law most ably, through the reactions of our customers and through the reactions of our operations. Why don't we collaborate with the public we serve? Why don't we draw upon the expertise of the public that we serve and the experience of the public that we serve in developing our policies and our procedures? Why don't we just open ourselves up? And so the Office of Public Engagement was created not as an office of communication, but as an office of engagement. And so what I did early on was I went out into the public and I asked them, what questions did you need answered by us? What concerns do you have with respect to how we do our work in the service of you? What issues do you have? And we embarked upon a series, an ongoing, continuing series of conversations and engagements on subjects of importance to us as an agency and to the community as the public that we serve. And we learn from that, and we develop protocols to serve that spirit of engagement and that reality of engagement. So, for example, now what we do, unless there's a fraud detection or national security reason why we wouldn't, is we engage with the public on a particular subject. We go back and we formulate a policy informed by that engagement, and we post for public comment our policy in draft form. We give the public an opportunity to comment on it, and we do not own what is right ourselves. We can benefit from the best thinking that resides not only within our agency, but also within the public. And through that collaborative effort, through that engaged effort, we come and should come to policies that are better informed, more responsive, and truer to the spirit of the laws and the regulations that we enforce. So, for example, I learned early on that we did not have a very transparent or consistent method of administering fee waivers, the ability for individuals who cannot afford the fees to have them waived. In fact, we didn't have a form that guided that process. And so through that collaborative effort that I described, we developed the first ever fee waiver form. And we've done things like that. I'm proud to say we have a lot of first evers as a result of that engagement process. And it's really been terrific.
Well, you mentioned earlier that one of your guiding principles is consistency, of policy, application, interpretation of immigration laws. So I'd like to talk about what are you doing to ensure that the policies are consistently applied across the agency, and what key lessons have been learned and applied as a result of your top-down policy review operational guidance?
Michael, there are two issues with respect to consistency. One is, and you mentioned one of them importantly, which is to ensure that our policies are consistently applied. There is also a first step, which is to ensure that our policies themselves are actually consistent from one office to the next. And we haven't found that always to be the case. And so what we did was we started the policy review. We gathered together all of our adjudication policies throughout the agency, and we decided that we need to go in serial fashion through those policies to ensure that they are consistent, that there is one policy under a particular legal principle or regulation, and that it is that one policy that guides all of our adjudications throughout the country, unless there is a reasoned basis for having a divergence. And it is a Herculean effort because we have many, many, many policies. Some of them are very complex. In deciding the priority of our review, we asked our workforce and we asked the public, in what priority should we proceed? Really touching upon my principle of engagement and not governing by edict. Our workforce may be clamoring for consistency in a particular area more acutely than in other areas, and we want to be responsive to our workforce, just as we are responsive to the public. We issued a survey, and we received over 8,000 responses to our survey, and we developed our priorities accordingly. And so we are executing on that policy review. The challenge is, quite frankly, the speed with which we need to execute. We are not moving at the clip that we need to really accomplish this task, which is multi-year in duration, but to accomplish it at a pace that best serves our workforce and our community.
Well, speaking about the workforce, would you elaborate on your strategy to create and cultivate a culture of excellence and performance at USCIS?
I think that a culture of excellence and performance is all about giving our workforce the tools that they need. And there are two avenues. One is training and one is professional development. And let me share with you my view of the distinction between the two. Training, I think, is equipping an individual to do the job the individual currently has. Professional development is giving the individual the opportunity through tools and otherwise to perform the job the individual wants to have in the future, to grow and to excel as that individual's talent warrants and dictates. And I've devoted a considerable amount of resources and both financial and personnel resources to both training and professional development. We have a new chief of training who is outstanding and a new head of our training academy. We owe it to our workforce, which is our greatest strength and greatest value, to deliver to them what they need and what they want.
So you had touched on one of your major challenges was the realities of fee revenues and the fact that they've gone down. So given the budget realities of today, what are you doing to implement some cost-cutting measures that will improve operational efficiency and reduce costs? And how does the establishment of a new umbrella management organization within your agency factor into these efforts?
The new management directorate, Michael, we created as part of a realignment of our agency. I came in and felt that there were certain areas that we needed to enhance our focus upon and, frankly, to raise their profile within and outside the agency. And so I created a management directorate that oversaw a number of management or administrative functions which are of critical importance. Human resources, it's all about human capital. A chief financial officer and various other enterprises in that realm. In 2010, we cut our budget by approximately $186 million in an effort to ensure that we were being as careful and frugal as possible with the way that we spend our money. Unfortunately, we had to cut into muscle a bit. And that was because, as I mentioned earlier, our fee revenue had dropped. And the choice before us was to raise fees and to raise fees in a tough economy with a customer base, many of whom can ill afford the current fee structure, was something that I worked very hard to avoid. I could not avoid it entirely, but I certainly was able to minimize it. And so we went through our agency top to bottom, each directorate, which is an operational entity within our agency, each program office, and we made difficult, sometimes accessible, sometimes less accessible budget cuts to be careful and responsive to the fiscal environment.
How is USCIS taking the immigration system into the 21st century? We will ask Alejandro Mayorkas, Director of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.